When it was at last reduced to a scattering of shattered components and casing fragments, Cat took him by the hand and led him away from the scene of death to sit at the foot of the steps leading further up the watch tree. As they did so, some of the local Yuvovo began peering out from hiding places and woven shelters.
"The transponder has ceased signalling, Mr. Cameron," Cauchy said. "The rescue shuttle has altered course away from Darien towards the Hegemony Fleet's marshalling zone."
"How's it all looking, Cauchy?" Greg said. "Do you think the fighting's over?"
"All sides have suffered crippling losses. The remnants of the Hegemony Armada still outnumber the other faction surviving vessels by more than 10-1. But High Mandata Azgemir has made it clear to all sides that warlike behaviour will not be tolerated. None has violated this status. Also, it seems like that the greater part of the Hegemony remnants will pull out, leaving behind a symbolic ship or two to keep an eye on developments."
Greg sighed. "Well, I guess that's something.
Look, I'm signing off for a while, Cauchy. If I don't get some rest, I think I'll go off my head."
"Understood. We will speak again soon."
He took out the earpiece and slipped it into an inside pocket. Cat moved in closer, put her arms around his chest and hugged him tightly.
"Sigranar is dead," she said softly.
"I saw the wrecked cyborgs. How can I talk about it? Not the know."
She was silent a moment.
"What's it like down on Darien?"
"The last time I was there, it was pretty bad. Town's half wrecked or half burnt, deserted. Inhabitants fled into the mountains and forests. Just bad.
They'll need folk like us to help with reconstruction, of course."
"Aye," he said. "Canny types who know which end of the hammer to hold."
Another long moment of silence, then Catriona shifted her head to look up at him.
"How did you beat that slavery dust?" she said. "What did he call it?"
"Blue chain," Greg said.
"Dunno. Perhaps there wasn't enough of it in the end for Curus's purposes. Or maybe it self-destructed. All I know is that I felt a sharp tingling all over and suddenly I was back in control."
He broke off, ambushed by a jaw-cracking yawn. Cat giggled.
"There's a nice hut upstairs where you can sleep, if you like."
"I just want to sit here with you for a wee bit longer," he said drowsily.
"Watch the sunlight move through the leaves while the Yuvovo come out to play."
Which is what they did. Resting there on the stairs, sipping from drinks brought by the Yuvovo, or nibbling berries and fruit. Not long after, the tall woman he had met down at the forest floor appeared at the other end of the platform, waved, then headed off along another branchway. Later, as the sun dipped and shadows lengthened, and most of the Yuvovo retired to their shelters, neither of them noticed when a single glowing mote emerged from the back of Greg's hand, a bright point surrounded by a shifting corona. It drifted unseen through the air towards the immense trunk of the watch tree and sank into its gnarled bark. At one point, Greg came out of his drowsy half-sleep all of a sudden, certain for a moment that he'd heard the voice of the Zeradin speaking to him.